Have a little message that the Lord's inspired to bring to you here this morning, and trust and pray that He'll make it a blessing to us. I'd like to turn to the book of Revelation, the 14th chapter. Revelation 14, I'd like to look at the first few verses here. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung as it were a new song before the throne, before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000, which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. That sounds like a number of people that I want to be part of. That I want to be in that assembly of a vision that John saw here, of those that stood before the throne, speaking of those that are redeemed, those that have been called out, those that have been saved, those that don't have the mark of the beast or the mark of the world on their life, on their forehead, on what they do, but they're separate. There's something different about them. They've been redeemed, they've been saved, they've been set free. And it says that they were before the throne, singing a new song before the throne. Burden that I have this morning is about our song. The song that we sing before the Lord. This is speaking, I believe, of more than just words that are spoken. I'm thankful for songs. I am blessed almost as often, I'd say, by song as by Scripture. The Lord will bring a song sometimes that I don't even realize maybe I'm singing it, and then I stop and I think of, and I realize I'm singing a song in my mind, and I think about it, and many times I found that's the very thing that speaks to the trouble that I'm going through. I know the Lord works through song. The Lord speaks to us by song, and I'm thankful for the songs of Zion. I'm thankful for the life that is in them. I'm thankful that it's not just a shallow song. It's not just words that are put to some melody and sung, but it's a testimony. I enjoyed listening throughout the year to Monarch singing. Put it in my CD player and play it throughout the year, and it doesn't seem to get old. We come back and we sing songs that we've sung many, many times before. But we're still blessed, aren't we? The Spirit's still able to speak to us through the song that we're singing. Many of the songs that we sing, there's a testimony behind it. There's a life behind it. The song many times was given or inspired in the depths of a hot trial, in difficulty, in distress, in perplexity. The Lord inspire a song and write a song. I think of the song, "It Is Well With My Soul," written by a man who had gone through a lot of loss in his life. Lost much of what he possessed. He had lost his children. And in the midst of that, as he was on, make the story short, on the ship looking at the spot where his children were lost, he was inspired with the song, "It Is Well With My Soul." The Spirit spoke to him and it inspired, and there was something in his heart that welled up that wasn't, I don't believe he just sat down and said, "Let me see if I can find some words that rhyme together." But there was something that was within his heart that welled up, that sang to the Lord, "In the midst of all that I'm going through, it's well with my soul." And I then sings my soul. There's something within me that even in the face of the enemy, I can sing, "It's still well. You've tried to destroy me. You've tried to discourage and hinder me, but I can still sing, 'It's well with my soul.'" So I'm thankful for these songs. thankful for the lives and the testimonies behind them. But you know the Lord has a song for us this morning. I'd like to look at the book of Exodus. Exodus, the 15th chapter. Children of Israel had been in captivity for, 430 years, I believe. The Egyptians had made their labor and their captivity harder and harder, made it difficult on them, and the Lord looked down and He saw the oppression, the affliction of His people. We know the story, how He delivered His people in a way that man couldn't do. There's no way that man can turn a river into blood. There's no way that a man can stop the mouths of the Egyptians. There's no way that man can work the wonders in the face of the gods of the Egyptians that our God did. And He delivered them by a mighty hand. Whenever they were there and they were facing the Red Sea and thought, surely now our time has come. We've gotten this far only to die at this spot. But the Lord didn't bring them out there to die. The Lord doesn't lead us in our lives to a place that His grace won't bring us through. That He doesn't have the ability to lead us through and take us right on through our lives to heaven. So they got through the Red Sea, and as they were looking behind, the Lord had made the way and dry land through the sea. And they looked behind on the other side, and they were still chasing them. And then the Lord caused the waters to start closing in. Can you imagine seeing that sight? Those that are full able to destroy us or to take us back, and I face the prospect of I got to go back into captivity again. But the Lord brought deliverance. You know what their response was when they got to the other side? It's what I'd like to read. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for He hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath He thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare Him a habitation, my Father's God, and I will exalt Him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is His name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath He cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. And so it goes on. Throughout this chapter, singing a song to the Lord, glorifying Him and praising Him, recognizing, Lord, You're the one that brought us to this place. Lord, You're the one that brought us out and did something that we couldn't do for ourselves. And their hearts welled up within them in thanksgiving and praise to the Lord. This is known as Moses' song. This is what the Lord did for Moses. This is how the Lord delivered Moses and the children of Israel in their time of need, in their time of distress. But the Lord has a song for us as well. It wasn't just for Moses, but the Lord has a song for us in the trials of our life. Whenever I come to difficult places, you know the Lord has a song that He wants to give us. It said there in Revelation, it's a new song. I'd like to look at the 40th chapter of Psalms. Psalms 40 says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust. The Lord heard this poor man's cry. Whenever I was in need, I was in trouble. Maybe some of you have been further out in sin than others. Maybe than I have, but I can still look back at a place in my life that, Lord, I couldn't help myself. I didn't know how to get out of the place that I was in. I didn't know how to overcome this thing that I was wrestling with. I didn't know how to save my own self. I didn't know how to change. The Scripture says, can a leper change his spots? Is he able, can by thought you add to your own stature? Or can I change my own ways? Can I truly go in and change the person that I am? You know, people, they go to self-improvement classes and try to better themselves sometimes, but it's not within us to truly change this man. It's not within me to truly be able to make a new creature of myself. I can't make, the Scripture says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. There's a new creation. There's something new that's taken place. The old man and the song that I used to sing, you know, the world has a song too. Sometimes I hear that song on a Monday morning. You see him coming into work and downcast and downtrodden and long faces, and speak to him and say, how you doing? Many times their answer is, well, it's Monday. And that just says it all for him. It's Monday. You can't sing a song when it's Monday. You can't sing a song when it's Tuesday, but my song begins to change throughout the week. Thursday, my song starts to pick up a little bit in tempo. You know what I'm saying? The song of my life. Not just a song that I'm singing out in public. Not just stanzas and verses that I'm singing with a melody. But our hearts and our lives are producing a song. It's producing a song to the world that the world is looking on. Friday, they're able to sing a little bit happier song. And then Sunday rolls around. And I start thinking, I realize that Monday's coming all over again. And my song starts to go downhill again. Thank the Lord that He has a song for us that's not dependent on what day of the week it is. It's not dependent on what we're going through. It's not Psalms 137, I believe it is. I'd like to look at a passage here. You know, the enemy is trying to steal our song. The enemy is trying in every way he can to stop the mouths of God's people, to put a cap on my song, to change the tune of my song. He tried that here. Psalms 137 says, by the rivers of Babylon where we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. Now notice what it says they did. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song. And they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. They had been taken captive to a strange land, a foreign place. It's not my own land. How can I sing a song if I'm not in my own land? You've brought me down here and you've held me captive in captivity and bondage, and you're asking me to sing a song now? I can't sing a song. I hang my harp on the willow tree. I'm done. I'm not singing in this place. I'm not able to sing a song of victory, because you don't sing a song of defeat. Whenever an army is defeated in war, they don't usually leave the battlefield singing a song. They leave the battlefield with their heads hung down. And it's the ones that won the victory that are singing the song. You know, the Lord has a song of victory for us. In this world, in our lives, whatever it is that we face, the enemy wants us to take our harps. And understand what I'm saying here, of the melody and the song of my life. Salvation. The song of salvation that testifies, this is what the Lord's done for me. Lord, great is the deliverance that you've given me. I'm a new person. I'm a new creation. And the world looking on is singing that song, hearing that song. It sounds to me, by reading this, that they had heard of the songs of Zion. Maybe it was of reputation. Because it said, sing us one of the songs of Zion. I've heard of the songs. I've heard how beautiful they are. I want to hear, why is it that I don't hear that out of you? I bring you down, I bring you into this place, but I don't hear that song that I've heard tell of. I want you to sing a song to us. They said, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? How can I do it? How can I have a song on my heart in a place like this? Again, I would say to us, the enemy wants to cause us to lose our song. The enemy wants to get me in a place in my life that I think I can't sing a song of victory. I'm not able to sing a song of praise to the Lord when I'm in a place like this. Lord, if you bring me out and I'm on the mountaintop, I'll sing a song then. Lord, if it's Friday, I'll sing a song then. Can't sing a song on Monday morning. You know, the world wants to hear the song of Zion. The song of Zion that is the song of my life testifying there's peace and joy even on Monday. You can still face life with a smile on your face. Yes, it's hard. Yes, there are difficult places that I go through too. But the Lord, David said, I'll call to my remembrance my song in the night. You mean you can sing in the night? You ever been sick or distressed at night and seen how long the hours are? How slow, and you look back at the clock and it seems like surely another 2 or 3 hours have passed. And it's been 10, 15 minutes. And the night just drags on like that. You know, we don't always feel like singing. We're not always going to feel like having a song. I'm not always going to feel like this is a place that I can sing in. But you remember, found, I believe, in 1 Chronicles, the 20th chapter. Jehoshaphat and all Judah had gathered themselves together and they looked off and they saw a multitude of the enemy coming against them. And they cried out to the Lord saying, Lord, we have no might against this enemy. We don't know what to do. We're in trouble. We heard about humility last night. Lord, I'm in trouble. Lord, I have need. Lord, I fought some battles before and I've won some victories before, but Lord, it was only at your hand. Lord, I'm facing another battle now, and I need your help. If you don't deliver us, if you don't help us, it said, how are they come to cast us out of our inheritance? They're coming to steal the things that you've given us. That's what the enemy's trying to do. The enemy wants to steal the things that the Lord's given us, the testimonies that the Lord has given us, the progress that I've made spiritually, the land that the Lord has given me. The enemy wants to cast us out of that. And so they cried out to the Lord, Lord, have mercy on us. You know how the Lord told them to fight the battle? Well, for one, He said, you won't have to fight. Stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord. But He said, He told them, send the singers before and have them sing praises unto God. Now, wait a minute. That's not in any military strategy handbook. You're not going to read that. It doesn't make any sense. For me to go in the face of the enemy that's about to just plow me over, and I'm going to sing at him. That's not going to do me any good. But the Lord said, you go in the face of the enemy, in the face of distress, in the face of fear, in the face of doubt, in the face of, I don't know if I'm going to make it through this one, and you sing. You still have your song. You still go in the face of the enemy and sing the song, I believe, number 87. Songs of victory bringing unto the Lord on high. It says, sing of defeat, no, never. Sing victory with all of our might. That is the song of Zion that we are to sing. The song of our lives. The world hears over and over and over the song of defeat. You can't do it. You can't rise above. You're not able to overcome that in your life. Just at best, you deal with it and you live with it. And life is just so miserable and it's such a chore and it's so difficult and it's so hard. I believe the world wants to hear a different song. I believe whenever they see a life that's singing a different song, whenever they see me and they see I'm going through some troubles too, but there's something different about it. There's a different sound that's coming off of my life. There's praise that's going forth. It's giving praise unto the Lord. I remember one time I was about to move to Ohio. I was in Oklahoma and I went to a U-Haul center to get a trailer to move our stuff. And early in the morning, they had just opened. It was a Monday morning, I believe. And the man at the front desk looked like he was barely awake and wished he wasn't. was just sitting there all crouched over and hardly even look up at me as I told him what I needed and I was signing my paperwork. But I watched him and I saw a change come over him. All of a sudden, in the midst of his just barely making it, he perked up and his eyes lit up. And he said, "Man, did you see that game last night?" And he started talking. I wasn't even sure what game he was talking about. But he wasn't even waiting for an answer. He started telling me about the game. "Did you see that pass?" And he jumped up out of his chair and he started going through the motions of this pass that someone had given. All of a sudden, he was infused with energy. Where did it come from? There was some passion there. There was something that he was singing the praises of one that did something that he meant a lot to him in his life. If he can do that, I was challenged, "Lord, help me." You know, sometimes I get in a place and I think, well, they don't want to hear what the Lord's done for me. They don't want to hear about salvation. They don't want to hear what the Lord's doing in my life. You know, that man never once stopped and said, "Would you like for me to tell you about the game last night?" Now, I'm not advocating don't use wisdom in how we talk to people. But it meant so much to him. You see, that was the song of his life. That was the music that came out of his life, singing praises of this man or this sports team. But you know what happens to that song when they lose the Super Bowl? Whenever they don't win the game, what happened to my song then? And if it's Monday morning and someone comes in to sign the paperwork, do I have nothing to lift my head up? Do I not have anything to be able to sing a victory in my life? Do I have nothing to sing about? I want us to be encouraged to remember we have so much to sing about. We have so much in our lives to be thankful for. Even in the midst of trouble, of distress, of hardship, when I don't feel like singing, I have so much to sing about. I have so much from my life to sing a song unto the Lord. Remember what Paul and Silas did? Now you say, "No, wait a minute. I can't sing in a foreign land. I can't sing at night." But Paul and Silas were in a place. You know the story. They were taken captive. They were put in bonds. And it was nighttime. It's not a very bright situation. There's not a whole lot of hope in that picture. Certainly not the place that I would choose to sing. That I would want in the flesh. Sometimes maybe I'm happy and I feel the emotion of happiness and I want to sing. People talk about sometimes their moods. And I pick a song that goes with the mood that I'm in. I'm feeling really down and I'm feeling depressed one day, so I want to listen to some heavy metal. Or I want to listen to something that goes along with the mood that I'm in. And that kind of drives my behavior and how I'm feeling and all throughout the day. If I'm feeling good and I'm happy and life's going good for me, I want a song that'll have a little faster tempo to it. That's the way that I feel. But the song, the Song of Zion, is not determined by our circumstances. The Song of Zion is not driven by what I go through. We sang the song, "Who Are These?" See if I can remember. It's found. It's based in the 7th chapter of Revelation. "Who are these in spotless robes, and whence came they?" Something to that effect. Who are these? The 7th chapter of Revelation, John was asked the same thing. He saw a vision of those that were standing before the throne of God, and they were dressed in white linen. And he asked, "Do you know who these are?" He said, "Lord, thou knowest." And he said, "These are they that have been through what? Great tribulation. They've washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb." But that's the multitude that we read about in the 14th chapter of Revelation. They're singing a new song. Even through great tribulation. You know those that were burned at the stake sang a song? Maybe they were in such suffering, they weren't singing literal words. But I'll tell you what, the action of their life, the calmness of their demeanor, the peace that they had, sang a song far louder than anything this world could sing. It sang of something that even in great distress, "I have a peace. I have a hope. I have a joy that carries me through. Thank the Lord for the song of Zion. That's the song that Paul and Silas found. You can lock me up. You can put the chains around me, but you cannot take the song. You can do whatever you want to try to do to oppress me and persecute me. Paul said, we're cast down, but we're not destroyed. We're oppressed and all these things that happen to us. But if I can say it this way, I still have my song. I'm still singing the same song of victory that the Lord gave me. It's a song of the heart. Ephesians 5 and the 19th verse. Our world today doesn't think a whole lot of the way we sing. Got to have a band, instruments. You've got to be able to have something to draw, especially the young people and my generation and below. To be able to draw them in, they're not attracted to that kind of singing. Just singing out a cappella, as it's called, singing, it's not something that really draws the world, like the big bands. But the Scripture here says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with what? With your hands? On a drum or on a piano or organ? It says in your hearts. Making melody in your heart. That's where the song is. That's why the Lord's looking down. I can't fake that song. Remember what it said there in the 14th chapter of Revelation? This new song was a song that only the 144,000 could sing. No other man could learn that song, it said. This song of Zion is the song of the redeemed. I can try to fake it. I can try to say the right words. I can try to dress the right way, put on the right appearance before you all. But there's a melody of the heart. There's something of the heart that sings unto the Lord that I can't fool. I can't reproduce this song. I can't try to fake this song that comes from the heart. You know, Lord, help us to have discernment. If we have discernment, you know, you'll be able to hear if a song's being faked. You'll be able to hear there's something that doesn't sound right about that song. There's something about the melody that sounds a little bit off-key. As you know, I'm not the best singer. But I can hear many times that's a little bit off-key. Or that's not being sung. I couldn't tell you what a single note means. I couldn't tell you, looking on the song page, what this note is and sound it. But I can hear when it sounds right, I think. I can hear whenever it sounds like it's way off key. You know, this song also, if we have the song within our heart, we'll be able to say there's something wrong about that melody. You're saying the right words. You're going through the same motions of what I'm going through, but it sounds off key. It sounds like it's not quite ringing true. Scripture says, speaking to yourselves. You ever have someone get up on a Wednesday night or during a service and thank the Lord for what Lord's done for them, and maybe nothing great or spectacular, and it speak to you? The Lord speak to you through it, and the Lord encourage you with it? Or to look on somebody and what they're going through and see their faithfulness, and it speak to you? And it challenge you and it encourage you? Or you hear a song being sung and you see those that are raising their hands. That's saying that's speaking to me. There's something within my life that it witnesses to that says it's true. I found it. I've read it. I've heard it. And I'm saying I found it to be so. It rings true with the song of my heart. And so the Lord is looking for this song of the heart. I'd like to look at Numbers, the 21st chapter. Numbers 21, children of Israel and their journeyings through the wilderness. It says in the 16th verse, "From thence they went to Beer, that is the well whereof the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Gather the people together, and I will give you water. Give them water. Then Israel sang this song, Spring up, O well, sing ye unto it. The princes digged the well, the nobles of the people digged it, by the direction of the lawgiver with their staves, and from the wilderness they went to Matanah." Whenever they found water, whenever the Lord provided for them in the midst of a dry land, a place that you can go and refresh yourself, a place that you can go for your own survival, you can't go very far or very long without water. But the Lord, as He did in one place, smite the rock and water will come out of it. The Lord provided water. The Lord sustained the children of Israel. The Lord even, I believe, if I remember right, He caused the soles of their shoes that they didn't wear out. All that time, the Lord provided for them. The Lord was their helper. The Lord was the one in their time of need that He met their need. Whenever they were hungry, He sent the manna. Whenever they were thirsty, He provided the water. And they sang a song here of what the Lord's provided for us. David said, "I have been young and now I am old, but I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging bread." That's the testimony of a man that's been through life, and I've seen hardship. I've seen many are the afflictions of the righteous. But what is my song? The Lord delivers them out of them all. What is my song of when I've been young and now I'm old? I've not seen the righteous forsaken. My testimony is, the Lord has never failed me. In my trials of life, the Lord has never left me. The Lord's been near and He's been close to me. That should be every one of our song throughout our life. The song that our lives sing. Isaiah the 12th chapter. It says, "In that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise Thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation." The children of Israel kept what was known as the water drawing ceremony. They would go as part of this ceremony with singing, with songs, with praises. They would go with a pitcher and draw water from the well of Siloam, and they would bring it back. And the sages, it was written, said, if you've never witnessed this ceremony, you've never seen in your life true joy. Their testimony was, I've seen that. The thanksgiving to the Lord of the water from the wells that we've drawn. And it likens to this verse here. Therefore, with joy shall we draw water from the wells of salvation. That is the song of my soul. Lord, I don't have to go through life, my walk of salvation, with my head hung low. I don't have to go through my trials and sing of defeat. The song says, sing of defeat, no, never. Sing victory with all of our might. Even in those hard places, I want to go back to the well. Sometimes I get tired. Sometimes I get parched. I get thirsty. But the Lord's provided a well that I can go back to and I can draw from again and take a deep drink and feel refreshed and have strength to go on again with joy. We'll be able to draw water from those wells of salvation. I'd like to look at Isaiah, the 26th chapter. "In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks." What day is that? Today? Is it in a millennial reign? Is it in a time far off in the future that we'll be able to sing then? When the Lord comes down and He drives away all the enemy, And he puts them all to rest and he sets up a throne in Jerusalem and reigns from there. And now it's just the redeemed that are reigning on the earth. Is that when we'll sing? Well, that's not what the Bible teaches anyway. We know that. But this is speaking of in our day. In the day of salvation, we'll be able to sing a song that says we have a strong city. Whenever the enemy comes and challenges everything that I have, you know what I can sing in the face of the enemy? I have a strong city. You can challenge it. You can come against it. The gates of hell may be unleashed against this city, but it'll never prevail. It'll never overcome it. The enemy will never be able to crumble the walls. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. This is my song. I'm thankful this morning that we have this song. We have a song in our time, in our day. Don't let the enemy cause you to feel defeated. Don't let the enemy cause you to be discouraged. When I look around and I see those that are failing, I see those maybe that have gone away. The enemy would want me to think, where is your strong city now? We have a strong city. We have a city that will endure, not one of the stakes thereof, the Scripture says, will ever be removed. The enemy will never be able to tear it down or take it down. We have a strong city that we can sing of in the face of the enemy. Our world's full of love songs. Do you have a love song this morning? You know what the Song of Solomon is? It's pretty much just that. It's a love song. An allegory between God and His church. That sings both ways. Of His love for us, but our love for Him as well. I remember years ago hearing a song, a worldly song that, if I remember correctly, said something like, I'll cross 1,000 rivers to climb 1,000 walls. Saying that I'll do this for the love of my life. I'll go through whatever lengths, whatever depths, whatever suffering, whatever hardship, whatever I have to go through. This is my song that I'm singing to you. I'm willing to go through it for you. You mean that much to me. Is our song to the Lord sound something like that? Lord, whatever you ask me to go through. Lord, whatever you take me through, you mean so much to me. Lord, I'll cross 1,000 rivers. Lord, I'll go through whatever depths of suffering that you require me to go through by your grace. I'll still have a song. Lord, that I love you. Job still had a song. Lord, though you slay me, I'm still going to trust in you. That testifies to something that's more than man in our lives. And so we read of the song of Moses. We read of the song of David. David had a song. Whenever Saul had been pursuing him and trying to take his life, and the Lord preserved David, brought him through it, David had a song. Oh, you can read about it. I believe it's 2 Samuel 22. But all throughout the song is singing of my mighty deliverer, the one that's enabled me to go through a troop, to leap over a wall, to overcome the enemy. The one that's enabled me to smite my enemies so they couldn't rise again. And he sang of praise to the Lord for giving him deliverance and victory. Remember Hannah? Hannah had a song. Those that mocked her, ridiculed her, scorned her. But she cried out to the Lord in her humble cry, and the Lord heard her. And the Lord answered her prayer. And her song was the gist of it. You can sing, you can rise against me. The world can ridicule me. The world can mock me, but the Lord has taken up my cause. The Lord has heard my cry. You know, in the midst of a world that ridicules an humble saint of God, that laughs at, that mocks, we can say with peace in our soul, go ahead and laugh. Go ahead, it doesn't rob my peace. It doesn't rob the joy that I have. You go ahead and ridicule me. Go ahead and laugh at me. The Lord's heard my cause. The Lord's taking up my cause for me. So that I say that to say the song of Hannah, the song of David, the song of Moses. What's your song? What's my song? What is the song of Clint that I'm singing? That my life is testifying of? Is it a song that sounds something like that? Or is it a song of defeat? Is it a song of discouragement? A song of giving myself over to the enemy that's trying to rob the song right out of my mouth? The Lord has a song this morning for every one of us. A song of victory. He's still the same. The Lord that gave the song to David is able to give a song to us. The Lord that fought the battles for them still fights the battles for us. So Lord, help me to have a song. Lord, put right the song. It's a new song. That David said, the Lord lifted me up out of a miry pit. And He set my feet on a solid place. And He gave me direction. He gave me purpose in my life. And He put a new song in my mouth. A song that whenever the world hears it, many shall hear and fear the Lord. And so I want to encourage and challenge us this morning that we have a song like that. That we have the song of our lives, the song of our hearts, would testify to how great our God truly is. You pray for me. Amen.